Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the There Is a Floodlight That Never Goes Out podcast. I'm Ed, and as ever, I'm joined by Will and Tom. And today, we're going to look back on the last two games of Game Week 40 and ahead to Game Week 41. So let's look back to Tuesday's games, and let's start in London with Brentford 0, Birmingham 0. Will, what do you think of this one?
Obviously, the actual game itself, nothing special, but, you know, it's another poor result for Brentford. Another draw, in fact. I think is that four draws on the bounce now.
Yeah, it is.
But another fairly solid result from a Birmingham perspective. You know, under Lee Bowie, they're sort of taking the right steps to definitely, you know, making sure they're getting safe out of the keeping the place in the Championship. And I think, you know, both them and Coventry recently have sort of stepped up the game a little bit, and we've seen Rotherham, Wickham, Sheffield Wednesday perhaps not quite doing the same. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one, that Birmingham are making the right steps to staying in the division. I'm impressed by how Lee Bowyer's United a broken team. You could see at Oakwell that they have the players. No doubt they have the players, but their squad just wasn't working as a coherent bunch, and they seem to be fighting for every last ball together. You know, it is still probably mid-table form at best, but since Bowie's come in, two wins, a draw and a loss, which is pretty good considering how poor the form had been before he came in. But yeah, on Brentford, I think, you know, a month ago or so, you were looking at Brentford and going, I think they'll get top two. Now we're wondering, can they even get into the playoffs? It's been a real drop-off in form for them. Ed, I'm going to bring you in on this one. I think Brentford probably will get in the playoffs, unlike Swansea, whose doubts are huge. But could Brentford just as easily drop out?
I fear they won't, for the simple reason that I think if anyone's going to drop out, it'll be Swansea first, sort of thing. You know, I see Brentford picking up more points for the rest of the season than Swansea. And in that case, then the lack of any real chasing pack apart from Bournemouth, I don't see where mathematically the bees can sort of fall out. I feel with, you know, obviously Brentford, for me, one of the biggest losses to any side this season came with Brentford and Rico Henry at left back.
Oh, 100%.
You know, they're playing Mads Beck there against Birmingham. But Rico Henry, for me, is the best left back in the league. And when you lose a player of his quality and importance, any side's going to suffer. But, you know, they've still got a front three that should be, you know, destroying this league. It's, you know, and for whatever reason, they seem to have just been found out slightly.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that front three, because one player in particular, Brian Mbeumo, I've watched him the past few games and I think he's terrible. He was obviously brilliant in BMW last season. I don't think his goal contributions are that bad this year. You expected him to really kick on and have a Benrahma-esque season. He's sort of had a Kanyos-esque season. I don't think he's really hit his full potential this term. And Brentford, yeah, they rely on Ivan Toney so much for goals that when he's not banging them in or creating chances, they really struggle. Moving on to a team who aren't struggling for goals, though. Norwich 7, Huddersfield 0. Now, Will, what a result this was for the Canaries.
Yeah, I think this is perhaps almost one in the making, you know, because we've seen Norwich almost dominate opponents, but, you know, only win maybe 1-0, 2-1 sort of thing. But we know how class they are, and on the day, with the players they've got, if they're firing, this is sort of the end result, and poor old Huddersfield were on the receiving end of it.
Ed, a hat-trick for Teemu Pukki, a goal for Cantwell, Buendia, Dowell and Hugh Gill. What did you make of the performance? Because by all accounts, you know, we're now talking about Norwich being one of the best sides to have ever graced this division.
And I completely agree with that statement. The way they play, it's the whole club's a testament to what a football club should be, in my opinion. You know, Pukki, what a free transfer. Has there been a greater free transfer in the Championship? I'd really argue possibly not. Emi Buendia, a hat-trick of assists and a goal. You know, every single week we think, how can you do any better? And then he delivers something like that. Kieran Dowell, a man whose time at Carrow Road has been sort of marred by injury this season. You know, he's got a couple of goals in recent times. And like you said, just the whole team performance was excellent.
Yeah, and obviously, I think there was some doubt in our last couple of match previews / reviews whether or not Watford could catch Norwich. I don't think they will now.
No.
I think 8 points with six to go. I just don't see Norwich dropping that many points. I don't see Watford gaining that many. So moving on to the only game that's happening tonight, and I think it's the biggest game this weekend, Watford v Reading, a huge, huge game. Not only the race for the top two, but also in the race for the playoffs. Ed, talk to me about this one.
It's a huge game, isn't it? You feel that if Reading can win this one against Watford, it will not only serve, you know, as a great boost to their chances of playoff, but a great boost to their confidence. Mm. You know, again, I guess you could look at it from Watford's perspective, and if they lose this and Brentford win tomorrow, and they've obviously got the game in hand, then they're only 3 points away from Watford. Brentford are, but that's I know, but if they win the game in hand, that's on the proviso that they win the game in hand. But
all right, yeah,
you know, I feel both these teams, when I've seen them play, are quite similar in terms of neither one particularly, you know, blows you away with the style of play. Mm. Both are very efficient football teams. Who, you know, build upon a strong defence with good quality going forward. You know, either side has that sort of magic man, if you like, who can create something out of nothing, and it should be a really good game. But I see this one. I see Watford just edging it, unfortunately for the Royals.
Yeah, and you talk about the teams having two magic men. I mean, is the two better players in the Championship on their day than Ismaïla Sarr and Michael Olise? Well, you know, it'd be favourable for Barnsley to see Reading be on the end of a Watford drubbing here. But how do you see it going?
I think it's a really hard one to call, because I think both teams will want almost a bit of a, you know, Reading will want to get back on the winning ways. Obviously, they won at Derby after that. I think you could call it a disappointing result against us, because I think overall they perhaps had the better chances. So they will have been disappointed with that. And they want to sort of make up for it. But Watford, you know, they haven't looked like losing recently. Obviously, they drew at Middlesbrough, but, you know, was that...
They were poor that day
and still
got a draw.
Yeah, that's it. And when you're getting points when you're playing poor, you know, they say it's a sign of a good team, don't they? So I think it'll be a good test for both teams. And I think it's probably more important for Red in this game than Watford. I think we've spoken about the gap almost that Watford are building between the teams below them, whereas at the bottom of the playoff positions, it's still all to play for.
It definitely is. Now, lads, I'm going to push you for predictions on this one. What are you saying, Ed?
I'll go for a 2-1 Watford win.
Well,
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Watford win.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Will. I think Watford will just edge it through. Maybe a little bit of class from Sarr or maybe a wonder goal from João Pedro. I agree, 1-0 to the Hornets. Moving on to another big game in the promotion push. Millwall versus Swansea at the Den. And I don't think Swansea could have had a worse fixture.
No, I think you're right there. Millwall recently have just found how to win games, haven't they? And they're just, you know, battling. I think, like you say, it's the position Swansea are in. You know, they would have really fancied playing a team definitely lower half of the league to try and get back to winning ways. But yeah. I think Gary Rowett, like tactical wise, will just match Swansea, and I think we'll just see a real slog of a game, and it's sort of just down to whoever can get that important goal, I guess.
Yeah, for Millwall, 4 wins in their last 5. For Swansea, 4 defeats in their last 5. Ed, we spoke about it on the review and maybe even the preview before that, but if they lose this game, you know, Swansea, you're looking at it, and I think they can drop out of the playoffs within, you know, the next game week, sort of speak. How's it all gone wrong?
Well, I think I touched upon it in the review, but you know, their whole plan sort of relied upon that strong defence, and then you know they needed their attack to be firing, and their attacks dried up. And no surprise, we've seen results drop off. And you know, a couple of games from Millwall side, like you said, 4 wins in the last five. But the last five games have all been, you know, one goal in it, and they've come out the right side on 4 of them. So Millwall, you know, we know they aren't going to put, you know, aren't going to go look to put 4 past any team. Well, they did put four past against us, but that's irrelevant.
The irony of that's beautiful.
So, you know, I don't see this game. I just realised halfway through saying that, that they did put 4 past us. But, you know, I don't think there'll be much in this game. But when you look at the two sides, who's more likely and prone to get that winning goal, you'd have to say Millwall.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's calls for Steve Cooper to go after the defeat to Preston. I think if they lose this one and then lose their game in hand in midweek, you know, talking about it and you're thinking, you know, maybe he is in danger. You know, we call it farcical, but maybe he is in danger. On to a game then that affects Wednesday. Wickham take on Luton at Adams Park in this 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Wickham have been on a bit of a resurgence of late, Ed. How do you fancy the chances against the Hatters?
I fancy their chances, unfortunately, quite a lot. You know, Wickham 3 wins out of the last five, and you'd have to say if they win this one, then they're serious contenders and deserve to be in that sort of group of teams who can still make it out alive. And we wouldn't have thought we'd be saying that a few weeks ago. I've been really impressed with Wickham. It's just a classic case of commitment and desire prevailing in the games. You know, we all know the quality they have, and they'll admit it themselves, you know, a lot of it isn't quite championship quality yet, or perhaps whatever will be. But that's just a testament to the leadership and management of Ainsworth and the players themselves for the way they apply themselves recently. And the whole season, to be fair.
Yeah, and on moreover on their opponents, Will, we saw 90 minutes of Luton on Monday. What did you make of them?
I think I wasn't overly impressed, but at the same time, I thought for the majority of the game, Barnsley were really good. So it'd be quite harsh to judge them off that. And you know, looking at sort of how Luton season's gone, it would be very typical of them having just gone 2 losses in a row to go and get all 3 points against Wickham. That's sort of what they've done all season, and that's how they've sort of got a steady position in the league, which is, you know, what they would have wanted at the start of the season, absolutely. So while Wickham have had this almost little resurgence, I don't think it's going to continue against the Hatters, and I think the Hatters will take all 3 points.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree with you, Will, because, you know, Ed, you've talked about the fighting spirit that Wickham have, but not only do I think Luton have better players than Wickham, but I think they'll outfight them. You know, their manager, Nathan Jones, is a scrapper. To say he's passionate would be an understatement. I don't, as much as you said they do have maybe a little bit of on-the-beach syndrome, I don't think he'll allow that complacency to go past another match. I think Luton will do Wednesday a favour here and pick up 3 points. Moving on then to probably our first nothing game, but I think we'll be talking more about the club's new owner than the actual game itself. It's Derby v Norwich, and Derby this weekend taken over by Eric Alonso.
Indeed. A little bit of a mystery man. I mean, we've spoken to Dom Alson and Joe Cran about him, and there's not much anyone can really tell you about him. You know, he's got links to far-right party Vox in Spain, which isn't, you know, a good reflection, in my opinion, on himself. No, although he has apparently put in a legal challenge to distance himself from the party, which apparently he isn't a supporter of Vox, despite appearing on their party list, following a load of its members and the party itself. So, obviously, we must all be wrong on that one.
Stinks of Alfie Day. And I'm not a Tory. That's all I'm going to say.
100%. I think with the takeover at Derby, obviously that is a big story of the week, and the game against Norwich, I see is fairly insignificant. I don't see it ending well, is my honest opinion. Again, I'm by no means an expert in football ownership or that whole world, but just from what we know about Eric Alonso, and perhaps his lack of experience and his mystique. I just don't trust him. That's my problem. The way he dealt with Chancery, obviously, is a Wednesday night. I'm probably in the best position of the three of us to sort of comment upon him because, you know, he came in and he proper stirred up the shit at my club.
Yeah, and he tried to sign players on LinkedIn.
He did.
he's an interesting figure, but he's also very litigious, so we're going to have to watch his words a bit.
Yeah. I hope that his heart's in the right place, and that and there's nothing to suggest that he won't be good. It's just that sort of when you don't know enough about someone, your obvious human nature is to appear suspicious. And with the whole Wednesday thing, it was his word versus John's series. There's three sides to every story, isn't there? Two people's words and then the truth, and we'll never know the truth.
And Will, more on the game itself then. At Derby, we were speaking in the preview about a week ago, saying, you know, we think they're probably safe. You know, the resurgence of form from Wednesday and Wickham means they're in a little bit of danger going into their last six. But I think Norwich probably beat them in this one. How do you see it going?
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with you. I think Norwich just... games like this, you just can't see them losing. You know what I mean? If they were to lose, it'd have to be some freak result sort of thing. You could never predict it. So, like, as much as Derby almost could do with the 3 points just to sort of reassure themselves, I don't think they're going to pick them up here against Norwich.
Yeah, and I think the only thing going for Derby in this one is, you know, Wayne Rooney. We've talked about how arrogant he is at times to the Championship. With Norwich being a Premier League club in waiting, and Rooney sort of operating on that level tactically, we might see, you know, maybe a Wayne Rooney masterclass.
I take issue with that from the point of view. I don't like Rooney as a manager from what I've seen so far.
I don't think he's a bad coach, though.
I'm not sure.
I think he's inexperienced 100%, but I don't think he's a bad coach.
My problem with Derby, though, is I don't look at them and see they have an identity or sort of DNA. And that comes from the managers and the tactics. You know, that's his sole responsibility to make Derby an entity that people don't know what to expect, but know, right, they play a certain style of play. And with Derby... this season, I mean, fair enough, the squad is subpar, to say the least. But yeah.
I still, you know, say they're subpar, though. Still look at them and I think they're only 3 points behind Blackburn, who actually are a very good team on paper. So, and you look at all the experience Tony Mowbray's had. I don't think Rooney's necessarily doing a bad job from what he inherited from Cocu.
No, yeah. I think he inherited a bit of a like broken up squad as well. It wasn't, I don't know, I think the situation at Derby when Rooney took over, it was a difficult one, wasn't it? And I think if he just gets them securely the place in the Championship, I think he's done a fairly solid job for his first year in charge.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. Moving on then, do the first nothing fixture. And it seems like this game's happening every week. I don't know about you, lads, but it seems like Groundhog Day. Bristol take on Nottingham Forest. Do Forest just play a mid-table club every week?
I think they must do. I mean, yeah. And yet the form still doesn't really show that, but... another sort of Bristol City at home... You know, I think at the moment, you'd be silly to almost back them at home. They just 100%. Don't look like they can win at Ashton Gate. Forest, I think, you know, I think they've won 2 in the last 5, drawn 2. So it's not terrible form, really, for where they are in the league. Nowhere near good enough, though, of what that squad is. But, you know. I think Notts Forest will take all 3 points on this one.
Yeah, and on the subject of Forest, you know, we're probably not going to talk too much about this game. But Ed, how impressive has the man in our thumbnail for this video been, Jimmy Garner?
He's been brilliant. He's, you know, after the spell at Watford and perhaps people thought, well, is Championship football come a bit too soon for him? He's been brilliant at Forest. He's just, you know, you look at him and I know you've done the Harry Redknapp impression, but you just think, yeah, you know, he's when he gets the ball, he's just so calm. And, you know, he's got to the point now where Mark Goldbridge is talking about they should send him on loan to Brighton and get Eve Bissouma next season. You know, that's
he's
Mark
a Forest
Goldbridge.
Fan. I've been watching all the games.
That is
only
Mark
joking,
Goldbridge.
Mark. We want you on. We love you.
So his opinion is fairly, well, it's his opinion solely, but the fact that he's even being mentioned as a possible, you know, player who's going to be playing the Premier League next season is a credit to himself.
Yeah, well, he looks a class above, doesn't he?
He does. He really does. Like, you do just occasionally in the Championship, you get those players, don't you? You just know are going to make it, and he's 100% one of them. Yeah, a real talent.
And Will, you said you see a Forest win in this one. How do you see it going, Ed? Because Bristol have been in horrific form as of late.
I agree with Will. I can only really see a Forest win here. You know, you saw Nigel Pearson's comments after the Bristol game, and he, you know, he slaughtered them, and quite rightly. But my problem with Bristol City is I don't look at their squad and see they have a team full of reactionaries, you know, people who are going to give that bit of something back to Pearson. So yeah, I see a Forest winner.
Yeah, and so then moving on to a game that affects Barnsley definitely, and that's Preston versus Brentford. We spoke on our first ever preview about Preston's terrible form. Since that, they've lost one, drawn one, won one. But their draw was against Norwich and their win was at the Liberty Stadium. How do you fancy their chances in this one, Will?
Yeah, I mean, when we were first speaking about Preston a few episodes ago, we sort of said, look, they're in terrible form and their next three matches are Norwich, Swansea and Brentford. If you just said that they would have already got 4 points with a game left, we would have probably, like, we would have never believed you. It's sort of crazy what these last couple of games for Preston. Obviously, that real late equaliser and then the late winner against Swansea. So I think you can't write them off against Brentford. And again, Brentford are in poor form. And I think they're going to have a real old battle at the Deepdale. And I think, you know, if Brentford go into it thinking, you know, looking at league position and think Preston are going to be a bit of a walkover, you know, I think they're going to be wrong. And Preston are going to give this one a real battle. Do I see them getting the 3 points? Maybe not. But I think it will end in a draw.
Yeah, and that would be a more than good enough result for the Reds if they were to win against Borough. Ed, we've spoke a lot about Brentford, Ed, obviously because they drew 0-0 against Birmingham. We reviewed that this episode. But more on Preston, I mean, some players have stepped up for Preston as of late and you just wouldn't normally expect it. You know, Brad Potts has stepped out from the shadows. Ryan Ledson's taken on the captain's armband. You know, Ched Evans proving that he might have his last Indian summer, is it, in the Championships, or you know, peaking in his early 30s. How impressed have you been by Frankie McAvoy's tricky whites?
Very impressed that they're looking like the Preston of old. You know, perhaps the point against Norwich was slightly fortunate, but then the win against Swansea certainly wasn't. They deserved to win that game definitely. You know, and to talk about Ched Evans there, I think I saw that if the move to Preston doesn't get made permanent, Neil Warnock wants him at Borough. And again, you know, another player who sort of resurrected his career. Brad Potts has been excellent. You know, the midfield three they played against Swansea of Barkhuizen and Ledson and Whiteman, you know, that's top quality for the Championship. It really is.
Very good, yeah.
I think credit to Preston, they've turned it round. But against all odds, really, because I'd sort of written them off the season.
Yeah, and Will said he envisages a draw in this one. I'd agree with him in the sense that I don't think Preston will win, even if they're on their A game. How do you see it going in terms of the result?
I still see a Brentford win. You know, against Huddersfield, Brentford were really unlucky with the 1-1 draw. Against Birmingham, Neil Etheridge was excellent. I made some key saves. And I just think, you know, Brentford's time will come again in terms of getting those wins where, you know, you say look at Swansea, I don't think that But I think with Brentford, I think a win is just around the corner. So I'm going to go for a Bees win.
Yeah. Moving on then to a game that affects Sheffield Wednesday again. It's the team Brentford came up against on Tuesday. It's Birmingham versus Stoke City. Ed, you know, Birmingham, if they win this, can we say they're all but safe?
I think that depends on the results around them, including ours and Rotherham's, obviously, and Wickham's now. But, you know, I think Stoke, they've had mixed form all season, haven't they? The loss against Millwall sort of ended any faint hopes of playoffs. But, you know, two good results that before that against Derby and Bristol. Michael O'Neill's just got them as a good Championship side. Not a great one yet. But it pains me to say this, but, you know, Birmingham with the fight under Bowyer, you know, I can see them getting something from this.
Yeah, and Will, I think it'll be a game where height is key. You know, you look at the battles, Jukovic v Suter is one that stands out for me. How do you see it going? Because I think it's two fairly well-matched sides on paper.
Yeah, it is. Like you say, two teams who perhaps haven't performed as well as they'd like to with the teams they've got. But nonetheless, it will be a tough game for both teams. I think it's a really hard one to call. You know, it really could go either way. We could see a draw. Either team could nick it. But like Ed said, since Bowyer came in, there's just been that something has happened at Birmingham which hasn't happened for the rest of the other part of the season. And I think that's what perhaps will get them all 3 points once again.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said it too many times in the preview, but I agree with Will. I think you've hit the nail on the head. I just think Birmingham have been brilliant recently. And Ed, as much as it might pain to say, if you do think Birmingham will pick up 3 points, what is your prediction for it?
I'm going to go for a draw. I think perhaps there's a tendency for clubs down the bottom of the league to obviously, I know this is certainly the case for Wednesday, raise their game against teams they should be losing against, and then against teams where, you know, we're giving them a sort of chance, sort of, you know, to the general fan, then it drops slightly. So I'm going to go for a draw.
Good stuff. Moving on to the only other nothing game than this game week. Is Cardiff v Blackburn. Cardiff's faint playoff hopes ended by Sheffield Wednesday after taking a 5-0 battering. And, you know, Blackburn, who have been absolutely horrific for a good month or so now. Based on last couple of performances, I think these are two of the worst sides in the league at the minute.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think the thing, as much as it pains to say me, the Wednesday game against Cardiff, like, I do genuinely think that was almost just a very good performance from Wednesday. You know, I think we mentioned it before that, but did they only have, I'm right in saying they only had like 6 shots on target, Ed?
Yeah, 6 shots on target. Yeah.
And only 1.81 XG as well.
Exactly. So, you know, in fairness to Cardiff, while they have lost 5-0, to concede 5 from 6 shots on targets is, you know, quite frustrating, and almost, like I said, as much as it pains to say me, a credit to Sheffield Wednesday. So perhaps that result doesn't reflect where they really are, and so for that reason, I think Cardiff will still win this game.
Yeah, and Ed, you know, we spoke about how Blackburn probably need to move on from the Mowbray era. How do you see this one going, having played Cardiff on Monday?
I think Will said very well there when Cardiff weren't bad against us. We were just very good. On another day, a couple of their goal line scrambles go in and Harry Wilson's shot goes in and doesn't hit the bar. I think the other thing with Cardiff is Big Mick, and, you know, he will demand a reaction, whereas Will Tony Mowbray, you know, if he'd have demanded a reaction, you know, which he probably has, let's face it, he will have. But if the reaction was going to come, it will have come by now, in my opinion. Blackburn is sort of just teetering on the edge of just mediocrity to the end of the season. And, you know, if results go the wrong way, they can definitely get brought into that relegation battle, I believe.
Yeah.
But now I see a Cardiff win here, just from the reaction for, you know, the big Mick will demand.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that one. Moving on to a game that affects both of our clubs then, Bournemouth versus Coventry. Bournemouth in absolutely stupendous form. Coventry in the form of a team that's just about doing enough to survive. As much as I'd like Coventry to pick something up, I can't see anything past a Cherries win here. What do you think, Ed?
I agree. You know, Bournemouth have become really free scoring right now. And Coventry's, one of their weaknesses is their defence. Mark Robbins, he's doing a tremendous job still, in my opinion. And the win against Bristol was brilliant. It showed also some great character. But I just think with the form Bournemouth are in, the stuff they're playing, you know, the play is peaking at the right time of the season. I can't see anything else but a loss to the Sky Blues.
Yeah, and well, like I said, it'd be great if Bournemouth did drop points here, but it's probably just not going to happen, is it?
No, I think, like you say, it's just the odds are definitely stacked against Coventry. But, you know, it is still the Championship. We would have seen weirder things happen. But I think, you know, off the two teams, just on the face of it, you've got to say a Bournemouth win. Absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on then to the big game at Oakwell. Barnsley taking on Middlesbrough. Big Val taking on Colin. I think this is going to be an absolute barnstormer, lads.
Yeah. I'm nervous for this one. It's a big game because, you know, like we've just spoken about with Bournemouth, they are pursuing us 100%. And we know what to expect here. It's going to be a right old battle, isn't it, against Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
They got a decent result against Watford, obviously picking up the draw. Our home form hasn't perhaps been as good as our away form, so I think it's hard to call, but the inner balance in me is... I'm gonna go for like a 2-1 Barnsley win, but yeah, you know, it's gonna be a close one, and I just hope Barnsley can get an early goal and sort of settle the game down before it gets too close.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think, you know, we say it every week, but Daryl DK is gonna be key. If DK turns up, Barnsley usually win. Alex Snowett has just won player of the month. Which is brilliant and should hopefully give him a confidence boost because, you know, he's not been at his best, shall we say, since he probably picked up that red card against Wickham. Ed, you know, neutral's perspective is needed as always. How do you see the Reds faring in this one?
It's a tough one because, you know, you touched upon it there, but you're better away from home. But then, Bury, you know, they've lost the last three away games to Swansea, Millwall and Bournemouth. I think what it will be a direct game. It won't be particularly pretty on the eye, and it comes down to me all about who can finish the chances, and I trust Barnsley to do that more than I do Borough.
Yeah. Score predictions then, Ed. How do you see Barnsley faring then?
A 1-0 win.
Well, you've said 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
I will say I think we're due to give a team a drubbing. I think we're going to win 4-0.
Wow, that's bold.
Pray to God that
before we end up on no context DFL. moving on, Huddersfield v Rotherham then at the John Smith, it's not a pint. It's a big game down at the bottom because Huddersfield, once again, we were saying, you know, they're probably safe and they lose 7-0 at Carrow Road and you're thinking, you know, Wednesday go on a run, Rotherham go on a run, Wickham go on a run. In danger again, and Rotherham really need 3 points in this game. So how do you see it going, Will?
Like you've just said, 3 points for Rotherham is so important. And for Huddersfield, it's, you know, we're either going to see one of two things. They're either going to have a big fight back from their really disappointing result against Norwich, or we're just going to see a team who looks sort of just really under it and could lose another game. So I think, you know, it'll be important for Huddersfield to try and give a reaction, but and it just as important as Rotherham needing 3 points. So I think it'll be a good game, a close game. But for me, I think Huddersfield will just top it based off the quality of players.
And Ed, what do you actually want in this one? Because looking at Huddersfield as a team you're going to try and catch, and you're looking at Rotherham thinking they can't pick up any more points.
It's a real dilemma. For me, a draw would be the best result, I think. Because I think Birmingham will be safe, and then that sort of leaves Coventry and Huddersfield as the two, in my opinion, to catch. So I think a draw will be best. For this game itself, you know, it was 1-1 draw in the reverse fixture with the Huddersfield getting a last-minute own goal from Angus McDonald. I think Rotherham's style complements playing teams like Huddersfield. You know, Huddersfield, they're a possession-based side. Rotherham are far more pragmatic. I also think you can't underestimate the impact that a 7-0 drubbing will have on team morale. You know, those results stick around for a long time mentally. So I'm actually going to go for a Rotherham win here.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the morale hit that Huddersfield will have taken after getting that tonking off Norwich, it will be huge. And I think Paul Warne will demand a reaction after what was probably Rotherham's worst result of the season against Wickham at the New York. Moving on to our final game then of game week 41. It involves the Owls taking on the R's at Loftus Road. Ed, I've got to come to you first. How huge is this game?
It's massive. Absolutely massive.
It's like Wednesday.
It's honestly. We need 5 wins from the last 7 really to sort of make the 50 point, the hallowed 50 point mark. And we've got to be winning games like QPR, but you can't underestimate QPR. You know, the Forest result aside, they've been in excellent form. My hope, and you know, I'm gonna really you know scrape the barrel for tenuous links here, but we're on Sky. We know what happens when Wednesday put on Sky. Barry Bunn turns into Prime Zidane. Yes. So for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm gonna go for a Wednesday win.
Yeah, that is very tenuous. but yeah, Wednesday they were very, very good against Cardiff. They didn't put too poor of a performance in against Watford. Obviously, they beat us. Huddersfield game, once again, they drew that one, but could have very easily won. Lost at home to Norwich, only 2-1. I mean, they're fit last, like, six. Is it 6 or 5 fixtures since Darren Moore came in? They've not been... And Will, I'm going to bring you in on this subject. Even though Wednesday haven't been bad, you know, in their sort of last 6 or 7 games since Darren Moore came in, were excellent on Monday against Cardiff. Can't trust Wednesday this season, and they've just not been consistent. And in fact, they've usually been very poor after a good result.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think the most Wednesday thing to do is like just when they look like they're down and out to go win 5-0. Like, I feel bad for their fans, the emotional roller coaster that they're going on. I just think. I don't know. I think QPR, they did it some good form, but as of late, it's not been as good. Obviously, they lost at Forest, but I think it's a close game to call, but I actually think Wednesday might go on and win again. And I just think, you know, the boost around sort of the team after winning 5-0, it might just give them that sense of, you know what, we can actually do this. You know, the teams around them, yeah. Rotherham, etc., aren't doing great. And I think they know they've got to match at least the performance of the Birmingham, etc. And so I think Wednesday will know this is a must win. And I just think that positivity around the team might actually get all 3 points for them.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you two. We've spoken to Dom Alson and we've spoken to Joe Cran, who've had a lot of positive things to say about the Owls the last week. But I just think QPR... Maybe they won't win, but I think they'll certainly do enough to get a draw at home. So, yeah, I can't see Wednesday picking up 3 points in that game. Is there anything more you want to add on that one, Ed?
No, just that I think, you know, for Wednesday, it's every game at a time. We've got to focus on ourselves. Like I said, to get 50 points, we need 5 wins from 7. and we have to win in games. So, you know, our survival hopes once again rest on this game.
Yeah, good stuff. If you're listening on YouTube, please do drop a like on the video, subscribe, even leave us a nice comment. That'd be lovely. If you're listening on Spotify, drop us a follow. If you're listening on Apple, drop us a follow and a review. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the match review on Sunday.